There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around me, they say, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs, chapter 16. Before we get started in the message, let me do some things to point out some special prayer needs that we need to give attention to. Now, all of our sick church members are on there because they have a real problem and they need our prayers. But there's some going through some extra difficult times or some new things, and we want to just remind you of them. Let me remind you, first of all, that Freeman Johnson, that's on here, passed away last week, and his funeral will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock here at the church. That's Freeman Johnson. Thank God he was saved back in 2002 and baptized, and he's home with the Lord. It's not hot up there. But let me just point these out. Chris Hatcher has liver problems, and pray for him. Janine Jones, she's going through a test procedure tomorrow and then a surgical procedure, I believe, earlier next week. Salvador Centillion is still going through difficulties. He's battling cancer. Lamont Ramsey, recovering from back surgery, a new convert, and his wife just passed away. Brother Donnelly went by to see him this afternoon. He was laying on the couch listening to preaching tapes, and bless his heart. And then Brittany Rayleigh was diagnosed with hashimoto-thyroiditis. That's a disease, not a motorcycle. Uh, And if you want to know what that disease is, it has to do with the thyroid. And you can ask Ms. Rayleigh. It's going to take more than her explaining it once for me to get it straight. But seriously, it has to do with the thyroid. And it is a real problem that she's had trouble with, and they're glad they have diagnosed it now so they can treat her and help her. And then continue to pray for Miss Sherry Donnelly, who has had her thyroid removed. She's waiting to undergo the treatment with the radioactive iodine, and she's going through the symptoms because of the loss of the hormones that's produced by the thyroid. They haven't given her any medication, thyroid medication, because they're preparing her to receive the radioactive iodine. She's extremely tired, and along with that condition comes brain fog, which I've had for a long time. But pray for Sherry. Next week she'll get the radioactive iodine and go through that process. But she needs your prayers. Isaac Rodriguez, that's Brother Omar Rodriguez's baby, is still in neonatal ICU. And then continue to pray for Robert Heck, who's undergoing chemotherapy. Now, every one of these are down here because of a real problem. But those, you can read them, pray for them, and if you will. And every week when I get the prayer request, I always look under the senior saints to see if my name's there, and thank God it's still not there. I don't mind being there, but I don't want my wife's name on there. All right. Found your place in the scripture. Well, I don't want to be married to a senior saint. She keeps telling me she's 39, so don't discourage me. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. Proverbs 16, we'll read one verse as a launching platform into a simple Bible study for the next couple of Wednesday nights. The Bible says in verse number 7, "When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Now, I want us to look at the first part of that. God has recorded in his word that it is possible for a man or a woman, and that man's ways is talking about mankind, not just the male species, but when a man's ways please the Lord. So the scripture lets us know that it's possible for us to live a certain way to please God. That God is pleased by certain things in our life. And I want to do a little Bible study for the next few weeks on the question, what does the Bible say pleases the Lord? What does the Bible say pleases the Lord? I had a man tell me one time, well, it wasn't a man, it was a woman, "I don't care what pleases God, I'm going to do what I want to." That's a terrible attitude to have, isn't it? What kind of a Christian can support that kind of attitude or spirit in their life? "I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want to." That's contrary to everything written about the Christian life. That's contrary to the will of God, the teaching of Scripture, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, living in the Spirit. It's contrary to all of that. The Bible says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Heavenly Father, help me tonight. As we begin this little Bible study, and help us to learn some things that we can do and be involved in that pleases you. What kind of a Christian does not want to please the Savior? A selfish one, a worldly one, a self-centered one, a backslidden one. One who's not living for you or your will, but living totally for the flesh. Now, Lord, I sure want to be a blessing to our people. I thank you for them. I sure did miss them. Thank you for the good job our staff did while I was gone, for the good preaching and teaching. Thank you for the faithfulness of the people. Now, Heavenly Father, help me tonight to be a blessing to our Wednesday night people that we might grow and learn how to please you with our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When a man's ways please the Lord. That statement, a man's ways, means his course of life, his actions, his manner of life, his spirit in life. When a man's ways please the Lord. There are some statements in the Bible that tells us what to do to please God. Someone said, how can God ever be pleased with us? Well, I thank God that the Bible tells us that there is a way of life that we as Christians can live that pleases God. And I want to tell you tonight, my greatest desire in life is to live in such a way that my God and my Savior is pleased with my life. Have you grown to that place? Now, you don't start out your Christian life like that. And anyone worth their salt has ambitions. They have drive. They have goals. They have ego. And all of that's okay as long as it's under control and in submission to the Holy Spirit of God. It's all right for a man to have goals in building a career and building a business and so forth, as long as all of that is in submission to the Word of God and the will of God and the way of God. Whatever we do, whether it be a keeper at home or whether it be a young lady or a single mom having to work to provide for her family, or whether it's a young man or woman going to college or a man in business or a young man or a man trying to do his best in a career situation. As long as it's honorable and it does not violate the Word of God and the will of God, that's all right. But in doing all of those things, we ought to desire first and foremost, above all else, to please Him. When our career gets in the way of pleasing God, we need to back up on our career. Take a new look at our career in light of the Word of God. When our relationship at home interferes with pleasing God, we need to back up and take a look on how we're living at home and what we're doing at home. When our worship and our service for God contradicts that which pleases Him, we need to back up in our service and take a new look at it in light of the Word of God and get back to the Word of God where we again can please Him. But I just want to say to you tonight with all my heart, my greatest desire in life as a Christian is to please my God and my Savior. Do you have those desires also? I hope you do. I hope you've grown in your Christian life that more than you want money, you want to please Him. More than you want popularity, you want to please Him. More than you want fame or success in business or career, you want to please Him. What is success in any area of life if God is not pleased? It's not success at all. We'll end up as a failure with a wasted life. and wasted opportunities. Let me share with you just a few things. I think I've got 12 different things listed here. It's a series, so don't panic. But I want to begin tonight to share some things with you that the Bible tells us that pleases God or pleases the Lord. Because of the situation in Israel, in the Middle East right now, between Islam and the nation of Israel, I want to dwell on this for just a moment. May I say, first of all, it pleases the Lord to bless Israel. It pleases the Lord to bless Israel. In Numbers 24, verse 1, "And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness." Now the point, you know the story of Balaam, the two-faced prophet. The man who was willing to sell his ministry for a house full of Balak's silver and gold. God wouldn't let him. Because God's not in the business of his prophets cursing Israel. God's in the business of blessing his people. And he wants to bless his people. And God even used a donkey to help Balaam to understand the will of God. Balaam was going to curse Israel for Balak. Balak told him he'd give him a house full of silver and gold. He'd give him honor and riches. God help preachers today that are willing to sell their ministry for things. May God give us some preachers that can't be bought. Preachers that'll stand up and preach truth. God had to use a donkey was used by God to get the attention of Balaam. Balaam ignored the angel of the Lord standing in front of him on several occasions. He tried to go this way and that way and that way, and the angel of the Lord blocked his way. A donkey had more sense than this two-faced prophet. The point I want to make here tonight is that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Now, Israel's not always been the best people. They've not always been where God wanted them to be. They've not always done the things God wanted them to do. They've backslid. They've gone into idolatry. But mark this, God forbid that some man try to correct them. God is in the business of correcting his own people. And he's used pagan armies to do so. He's used plagues and judgment and earthquakes and the earth opening up. But God does a good job judging and spanking and correcting his people when they go wrong. But you mark it down. It pleases God when his people does something that he can bless. And may I remind you that the Bible tells us that, he tells us that God has made a covenant. Amen. And that covenant is with Israel. Amen. And he said he would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. Amen. You better be careful joining in with the liberal crowd and the people today who are joining up with the pagan Muslims. He said they believe in God. He's not our God. You better be careful about being ugly and cursing and criticizing Israel. I'm going to stand on God's side. And I'll tell you where God is. God's on Israel's side. Even if they're not right, God's still on their side. They may not be on his side, but he's on their side, and he'll get them back to the place that they're on his side again. And I don't want to be one of those that's interfering, that's standing between God and his people. The Bible lets me know God is pleased to bless His people. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for God to open their eyes and open their hearts. We know that that's going to happen during the tribulation. We know that when the Lord returns, they'll see, they'll understand, but multitudes before then will go to hell. We ought to pray that during this time, during this conflict, that God will open their hearts and remove the scales from their eyes individually, that they might see and believe that Jesus is the Savior and be saved. It pleases God to bless Israel. And woe to me and you that gets on the devil's side when it comes to Israel. Show me a nation that's opposed Israel and has prospered. Look at Germany. God allowed them to come to a defeat in the Second World War because of their strong opposition to the Jewish people, Hebrew people. Murdered 6 million of them. And yet there's some dingbats in Iran, like their leader, that says he doesn't believe in the Holocaust. It's a fake. Something fantasized by the Jews. Oh, listen to me. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. But may I go a step further? It pleases the Lord to bless His children. It's not just Israel. It pleases the Lord to bless the saved today. Mrs. Smith and I got to spend some time there with our grandchildren, our great-grandson. And we had some things for our great-grandson, and we did some things for our grandkids while we were there. And you know, we were just pleased to death to do that. If that's true on the physical side here, how much more is it true when it comes to our Heavenly Father wants to bless us? Oh, how He is thrilled when we walk in His way and walk in His will so He can bless us. By the way, let me ask you right here. Would God have to compromise some part of the Bible to bless you right now, the way you're living? You say, I'm not so bad. I just got this with this person, and I don't like what so, and I'm a little angry and bitter at so and so. And boy, that's bad stuff with God. He's not going to bless us until we learn to walk in His will and deal with these things, not let the sun go down on our wrath. Holding things over for a week and a month and a year. It doesn't get better. We just fester and get worse. God would like for us to deal with those things biblically so He could be pleased to bless us. You do understand, for God to bless us, we're going to have to bring ourselves into agreement and subjection to His will and word. We can't violate principles of the Word of God, whether it be personally, morally, or financially, spiritually, and expect God to bless us. We can't violate our relationship with each other in marriage and expect God to bless us. Some of you are doing the very things God tells us not to do as husbands and wives, in our relationship to one another, and still you expect your marriage to be sweet. It won't work. It won't happen. I just wanted to say tonight that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, and it pleases the Lord to bless any of His children. Secondly, it pleased the Lord to restore His backslidden people when they returned to Him in repentance. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22, the Bible says, "For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people." Now, the people of Israel were not content to have God rule over them here in 1 Samuel chapter 12. They'd been around the pagans and saw the pagan kings, and they said, "We want a king. We don't want God to rule over us. We want a man." And God gave them what they asked for, and they found out they didn't really want what they got. You better be careful for asking for things in the flesh, things contrary to the Word of God and the will of God. Sometimes God gives us what we ask for to let us know how wrong we are. To think a man could be better for a people than God. See, God was ruling for His people. While God ruled over them, while God was their leader, while God was their king, while God was their supreme, while they looked to God, God gave them clothes that didn't wear out during 40 years. Shoes that didn't wear out. And I know you women wouldn't like that. But it'd be fine with me if I never had to buy another pair of shoes. Man, I got these broke in, and I don't like to break in new ones. I got my favorite shirts. I wish they never wore out. I got my favorite suits. I just hate to break. Now, you ladies, you don't like that. But that'd be a good thing to me. But God provided their food. He led them. He cared for them. He fought for them. He delivered them. They said, "God's not good enough. We want a king." And in so doing, they turned away from God. By the way, when your affection and desire is for something physical more than something to be right spiritual, you're not right with God. I don't care what God says. I want a king, a man to rule over me. And in spite of that, God didn't forsake them. You just read the story of Israel. How many times, if you were God, would you have said, "That's it, that's all of you"? Like a bug. No. God never gave up on them and still hasn't given up on them. He'll not forsake His people. Not because they're good, not because they're worthy, but He made a covenant with them and for His great name's sake. When they go wrong, God deals with them, and when they come back, God is pleased to forgive them and restore them. But it's not just with Israel. God's the same with all of us. It pleases God when backslidden Christians admit it. They see their sin and acknowledge that it's against God, and it hinders our relationship with God. And we get right about it. We see it like God sees it, and we turn back to the Savior and cry out, "Oh God, I've sinned." It pleases the Lord to forgive us and restore us unto Himself. Thirdly, it pleased the Lord for Solomon or any of his children to ask for wisdom and an understanding heart. Here Solomon is made king. He's a young man as a king. He's never been a king before. God told him, "You can ask what you will." In 1 Kings 3, verse 9 and 10, Solomon asked, he prays, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. What was he asking for? He is asking not something for himself, that he might be rich. He didn't ask that he might be popular. He didn't ask that he might be famous. He asked for wisdom, that he might be able to discern between good and evil, that he might be able to judge God's people and lead them. He asked for an understanding heart. And the Bible says what old Solomon asked for pleased God. May I submit to you that Solomon's not the only one that can ask for wisdom? Where do we get wisdom? Three places. We get it from a life of experience. You become wise if you learn from your own mistakes, and wiser if you learn from others' mistakes. So we get it from a life of experience. Secondly, we can get wisdom from the Word of God. You read the book of Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. They're about wisdom. It's a contrast between the wise and the foolish. But the Bible tells us we can go a step further than just experience. You don't have to wait for 40 or 50 years of experience to be wise. You store up on the Word of God. And then you get on your knees and ask God to give you wisdom. Because He's the source of wisdom. He's the source of wisdom. And He'll give liberally to those that ask. He wants His children to be wise. You see, wisdom is learning how to walk in this world in a way that pleases God. And it pleased God that Solomon asked for wisdom. Now let me ask you now, if God said to you, ask anything, I'll give it to you, what would you ask for? What would you ask for? What Solomon asked for was not riches. It was not fame. It was not fortune. It was not fun. It was not happiness. It was not success. It was not anything for himself. What he asked for was something that make it possible for him to help others. And when Solomon said, Lord, I'd like to have an understanding heart. I'd like to be able to discern between good and evil. I'd like to be able to lead my people and help them to do right. It pleased God. By the way, is there a desire in your heart to be wise for His sake, for others' sake? Look at your prayers you've prayed over the last month, if you've prayed over the last month. Look at your prayers. What have you asked for? Is it just about you, 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 me, myself, what I can enjoy, what I want? Are you asking for something that would make it possible for you to glorify Him as you dealt with others? He asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for wisdom so people could brag upon Him. He asked for wisdom that He might be a good king and help His people to do right, to be able to judge fairly when He had to set in judgment over people. And God gave it to him. Have you ever met someone with God's wisdom? Have you ever met a fool? He doesn't have God's wisdom. There's a big difference. A big difference. A fool's living for himself. As I said before, his three favorite people are me, myself, and I. That's correct. But it pleased the Lord for Solomon to ask for wisdom and an understanding heart. And God's still pleased when we seek wisdom. You're going to spend some time on your knees believing God. You're going to have to spend some time in the Word of God, hiding it in your heart. Oh, how we ought to desire to please Him and living and walking in wisdom, His understanding of things. Making decisions about things and ways and events according to His will and His word. That's wisdom. What pleases Him? What's right with Him? Oh, that daddies might have wisdom as they build their marriage. Oh, that daddies and mamas might have wisdom as they build their home and raise their children. I'm amazed how Christians will compromise the Word of God for their children. Rules go for everybody else, but not my children. That ought not be a preacher's position. It ought not be a deacon's position. It ought not be a staff member's position. It ought not be a Christian's position. The rules apply to everybody else, but not mine, not my kids, not my family. God doesn't work that way, and wisdom does not work that way. Fools do. Fourthly, it pleased the Lord God to provide a complete sacrifice for man's sins through His own Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, Jesus. He hath put Him, Jesus, to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed and shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hands. Isaiah 53:10 is one of those verses that boggles my mind. Here is a holy God looking down on Calvary and His sinless Son is being nailed to a cross. Having been beaten, spat upon, cursed, slapped, hair pulled out of His face, now hanging naked and on a cross with nails through His hands and His feet. And God in heaven looking home. And then they raised that cross up between heaven and earth and fixed it in the ground. God took all of our sin and put it upon the Lord Jesus. And God judged Jesus. And it pleased the Lord to do it. That boggles my mind. How can I comprehend that? That God's love for Jesus is so great, it's eternal, it's holy, it's undefiled, and yet God took my wretched sin and your wretched sin and put on His Son, Jesus, and God poured all of His wrath out on Jesus and judged Him as He would judge all of the sinners and all of the sin in hell. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to do it. Why? Because He is not only looking at Jesus, He is looking at a world going to hell. A world He didn't create for hell. Men and women and boys and girls that He did not bring into existence to burn forever in hell. It's the will of God that sinners be saved. And God has provided a sacrifice, a complete sacrifice, not a down payment on our sin debt, but He paid for it in full, and it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. So we could say, my sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God. heaven's my home. Whew. It pleased the Lord to provide a complete sacrifice for man's sin through his own Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's some people I love in this world, and some people I love dearly. But I don't know anybody I love enough to give one of my children, one of my grandchildren, to be beaten, spat upon, and cursed, and nailed to a cross, and endure the wrath of God against their sin. You stop and think about it. Anybody in here you care that much about? And yet it pleased the Lord to bruise his Son because he had you and me in view also. He knew that the suffering on Calvary would not send his Son to burn in hell, but to pay the sin debt for us. And not only was God in heaven pleased to bruise Jesus, Jesus said, I'm pleased to endure it for you. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Had you in mind and me in mind. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Well, I think I'll just stop there on this Wednesday night. Oh, let me go on one more. One more. This will be a... I've got to put something in there that... to give us something to think about besides these. God wants us to know also that as long as we walk and live for the flesh, we cannot please God. As long as I live and walk to please me, to please this flesh, I can't please God. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And you as a Christian, you've got a choice. You can walk in the Spirit that pleases God. Or you can live for the flesh. You can do what you want to. You could. I know missionaries. And I know preachers. And I know Sunday school teachers. And I know Christians that make their decisions in their Christian life not based on the will of God, not based on asking God, Lord, not my will, thine be done. All the times, Bible college students and young preachers come into my office telling me what they're going to do. Have you prayed about it? Well, no. Well, why are you doing it? Well, I just want to. As long as you live that kind of life, as long as you do what you want to do, as long as you don't consider the will of God and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God's leadership in your life, you're walking in the flesh. As long as your dealings with others is the get-even attitude or I'm going to get my ounce of flesh, or I'm going to get even, or... Hey, you're not walking in the Spirit. You say, well, bless God, I don't want Him to take advantage of me. The truth is, there's many times, if we're going to be right with God, the stronger Christian's going to have to be willing to be defrauded in order to win a weaker one and help them to grow to the place they ought to be, where their life will please God. But as long as we walk in the flesh, we can't please Him. The Bible says so. You've got a choice, and I've got a choice. As we go about our daily walk with God, we can either walk according to the way of the Bible. That is, we allow its principles and its statements to guide our life. And we can walk in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And let me say again, you've heard me say it many times, the Holy Spirit will not contradict one principle or one thus saith the Lord. He will not contradict one verse of Scripture. There's agreement with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And His will for your life doesn't contradict the Word of God. Leadership of the Holy Spirit will not contradict the Word of God. But if we walk in the flesh, we will. A lot of Christians do what they want to, don't care, not caring what the Bible says. And God says, as long as you walk in the flesh, you can't please God. Can't please God. Are you walking in His Word, walking in His will, or walking in your will and your flesh, your way? I said at the beginning of the message, I want to please Him with all my heart. And I know to do so, I'm going to have to learn His Word. I'm going to have to learn to walk by His precepts. I'm going to have to learn to follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. I'm going to have to put into practice the teachings of Scripture in relationships. Not to do so is to walk in the flesh. And if I walk in the flesh, I cannot please God. Heavenly Father, thank You that You have made